When I was young, I said that one day I hoped to see someone like me on stage in Miss USA, and it just happened to be I was the person that I needed.
You absolutely can stand up for yourself, and we are moving towards an open, equal future for trans students.
We're in the midst of an unprecedented wave of discrimination in this country, and the state of California will have no part of it.
May we never have to sign another, no president ever have to sign another monument like this.
Ebony, my love. Rebel, my love. Peace. Happy Pride.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Honduras is held accountable for a trans woman's murder. Gavin Grimm's win boosts trans kids' rights. And Queen Latifah and Lil Nas X come out best at the BETs. Those stories and a lot more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Tanya Kane Perry.
And I'm Marcos Najera.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending July 3rd, 2021. The government of Honduras is being called to account for the brutal murder of trans woman Vicky Hernandez. Hernandez was a victim of the anti-queer killings following the June 2009 coup that ousted the democratically elected president. The Inter-American Court of Human Rights ruled this week that the 26-year-old's death was essentially a government-sanctioned execution. Honduras is now ordered to keep track of anti-queer violence and provide diversity training to security forces. The Central American country must enact laws to protect LGBTQ people from violence and to allow trans people to officially change their gender identity. The court also ordered the Honduran government to pay $30,000 in reparations to the Hernandez family and to create a scholarship in Vicky's name. Vicky's mother, Rosa Hernandez, has led the fight for justice for her daughter. She told the New York Times, "It's so significant that there will always be this memory of her. LGBTQ people are human. Why discriminate against them?" 14 trans women and 16 gay men are known to have been murdered during the coup, according to advocacy groups. There were probably many more. Activists vow to keep the heat on the Honduran government to follow through on the directives from the region's highest court.
The U.S. Supreme Court's refusal to consider two cases as its current session closes handed victories to equality advocates this week. Justices declined to hear a Virginia school district's appeal to challenge lower court rulings ordering them to allow trans students to use gender-appropriate campus bathrooms. You'll hear from victorious plaintiff Gavin Grimm later on This Way Out.
Hopefully it will set a precedent in other bathroom battles in other states.
The Supreme Court also rejected a florist appeal. Baronelle Stutzman of Arlene's Flowers and Gifts in Richland, Washington, refused to provide services for the wedding of a gay male couple because of her religious beliefs. Lower courts had ruled that Stutzman violated the state's anti-discrimination laws by refusing her longtime customer's order. Justices let those rulings stand. It takes four of the nine justices to hear an appeal. Right-wing justices Clarence Thomas and Samuel Alito predictably joined the less predictable Justice Neil Gorsuch in voting to hear the case. Bridegroom Robert Ingersoll celebrated the high court's refusal to hear the appeal. He said that he hopes his hard-won flower power sends a message to other LGBTQ people that no one should have to experience the hurt that we did. However, it should be noted that by refusing to hear the florist case, justices dodged the thorny issue of queer human rights versus so-called religious liberty. The court similarly punted 3 years ago when it ruled in favor of a conservative Christian who refused to make a wedding cake for a gay couple. That decision rested on the narrow grounds that the state's Civil Rights Commission had discriminated against Colorado's Masterpiece Cake Shop owner Jack Phillips because of his religious beliefs. Phillips lost another case in mid-June. The Denver District Court said that he violated state law by refusing to make a cake for plaintiff Autumn Scardina to celebrate her gender transition.
About 50 courageous LGBTQ people and allies took to the streets of Lilongwe on June 26th to celebrate the first ever Pride Parade in the capital of Malawi. Many augmented their pandemic face masks to conceal their identities. Nyasa Rainbow Alliance leader Eric Sambisa told reporters that he did not blame participants in the parade organized by his group for covering their faces. "They are targeted for violence all the time," he said. Rainbow flags flourished, dance music blared from a pickup truck, and placards held on high included messages like, "We are also human beings," "Diversity creates community," and "We are also an image of God." Marchers presented a petition demanding anti-discrimination protections, marriage equality, and full access to health care. Principal Administrative Officer for the Lilongwe City Council, Hudson Kufanga, received the petition and assured the marchers that it would be sent to the Office of the President and Cabinet, according to Malawi24.com. Consensual adult gay sex in the Southeast African nation is punishable by up to 14 years in prison. Lesbians can be sentenced to up to 5 years. Social stigma also keeps most queers in the closet. Anti-LGBTQ verbal and physical assaults are common. A judge in Malawi made headlines in 2010 when he sentenced a gay couple to the maximum 14 years in prison for holding an engagement party. They were ultimately freed after intense global pressure. However, the government continues foot-dragging on reforms to protect LGBTQ people that have been ordered by the United Nations.
Britain's Methodist Church has become the largest religious denomination in the country to bless same-gender weddings. The tally at their annual conference this week was overwhelming: 254 in favor and 46 against. The vote changes the church's definition of marriage from the union of one man and one woman to a lifelong union in mind, body, and spirit of two people who freely enter into it. Actually, the resulting standing order allows for two views of marriage, one that is between a man and a woman, and one that it can be between any two consenting adults. Methodist ministers who oppose conducting weddings for same-gender couples can opt out under freedom of conscience provisions. Almost every delegate's hand went up to approve a measure that labeled conversion therapy contrary to Methodist values on the last day of the conference, according to Pink News. All members of the church are called on to refuse to offer or participate in offering any form of so-called therapy that claims to make queer people straight. The conference closed on July 1st. The Methodist Church is the fourth largest Christian denomination in the UK. The smaller Scottish Episcopal and United Reformed Churches and the Quakers already bless same-gender unions. In the U.S., the issue is forcing the United Methodist Church to split into two denominations: congregations in support of marriage equality and congregations opposed.
Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban remains intractable in his defense of a recently enacted no-promo-homo law. He told Hungarian Public Radio this week that European Union leaders who assailed him at their Brussels conference last week had behaved like colonialists. Orban charges that they want to dictate what laws should take effect in another country. The law in question bans the display or promotion of homosexuality or gender reassignment in schools or on television. The heads of 17 of the 27-member EU had signed an open letter condemning Hungary for the law. Czech President Miloš Zeman was not one of them. He seems to agree with Orban that the condemnation amounted to meddling in a country's internal affairs. Zeman said during a television interview this week, "I see no reason to disagree with him because I am completely annoyed by the suffragettes, the Me Too movement, and Prague Pride." Compounding his ignorance, Zeman continued, "If someone undergoes a sex change operation, he commits a crime of self-harm. I can understand gays, lesbians, and so on, but these transgender people are really disgusting to me."
France's National Assembly approved a measure this week that opens medically assisted reproductive services to lesbian couples and single women. Passage in the lower house of parliament was a lopsided 326 in favor and 115 opposed. The conservative majority in the French Senate repeatedly rejected the proposal, according to the Associated Press. However, the centrist government of President Emmanuel Macron holds a majority in the National Assembly. Their word is final. Previously, government-funded fertility services were only available to infertile heterosexual couples. Activist groups have lobbied for the expansion since France ushered in marriage equality in 2013.
Finally, Canada's effort to ban conversion therapy needs prayer. A ban measure easily cleared the House of Commons last week. However, amidst a last-minute flurry of bills, Reuters reports that it did not come up for a vote in the Senate this week ahead of the summer recess. It could be considered when the Senate reconvenes in September. But two unnamed sources told Reuters that Liberal Party Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is considering a snap election to ride the wave of post-COVID euphoria. If an election is called before September, all unfinished business will die, including the conversion therapy ban.
That's News Wrap, Global Queer News with Attitude, for the week ending July 3rd, 2021. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, edited by Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more.
And you can read the transcript and listen to News Wrap each week by subscribing to our This Way Out radio channel on YouTube. For This Way Out, I'm Tanya Kane Perry. Stay healthy.
And I'm Marcos Najera. Stay safe.
Arkansas, Florida, Montana, North Dakota, and West Virginia.
What do those five U.S. states have in common? Find out later in the program.
See the pretty girl in that mirror there. Who can that attractive girl be? Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty me.
Miss America, bravo, speech!
Speech! Miss Nevada contest winner Cataluna Enriquez is much more than pretty. She's a Miss USA pageant history maker.
I'm the first trans woman and a trans woman of color, and it's time that our voices are heard. It's amazing because it's Pride Month and it's the 52nd anniversary of Stonewall, so it's a special moment for my community.
Crowned on June 27th, Enriquez shared her motivation and some inspiration with NBC TV's Las Vegas affiliate KVVU.
When I was young, I said that one day I hope to see someone like me on stage in Miss USA, and it just happened to be I was the person that I needed. So don't let your differences determine what you are capable of. Your differences is anything what makes you unique, and you are capable of anything as long as you believe in yourself.
Miss Nevada Cataluna Enriquez will compete in the Miss USA pageant in November. Trans former Virginia high school student Gavin Grimm is finally able to claim his victory. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to hear a challenge to rulings in support of his bathroom rights, so his lower court wins will stand. Grimm told CBS News,
I am excited that after many years of fighting, 6 years of fighting, we finally have a resolution in this case. However, I think it is important to highlight how unfortunate it is that a then 15-year-old was ever put into that position in the first place, and as well as to highlight the fact that no student, no person should ever have to advocate for their very humanity on behalf of themselves.
So what's next for the now 22-year-old?
This case has been such a priority in my life and such a big part of my identity for so long, especially for so many of my very formative years. That I almost don't know where I go next, but I know that wherever it is, it will be with an open heart and within my community, and it will hopefully be beautiful. you know, I'm trying to prioritize the emotion that I'm feeling, which is the excitement and the happiness on behalf of the other people that this will affect. I'm already out of high school, and my love for the community that I'm a part of.
What part does his long-running case play in the current struggles for trans youth in the U.S.?
We know that it sets a precedent in the Fourth Circuit so that those kids no longer have to fight this fight. The answer has come. We've already done it. And hopefully it will set a precedent in other bathroom battles in other states where they will look to my case and use that to build idea of how their case would go if they tried to challenge that. I hope it's inspiring to trans kids across the nation that they see this and they know that we're not going anywhere, that trans rights are human rights, and that you absolutely can stand up for yourself, and we are moving towards a open, equal future for trans students.
Gavin Grimm on the U.S. Supreme Court's refusal to review the case he won for access to gender-appropriate school bathrooms. Before the ink could dry on that decision, the Human Rights Campaign filed a lawsuit on behalf of trans student athletes against the discriminatory state of Florida.
I wanted to celebrate us because I know together we stand stronger than when we tear each other apart.
The Queen's speech, but first. Has anti-queer legislation started a cold war between U.S. states? Pacifica Radio's Mark Maracle reports on one escalating battle.
California added five more states, including Florida, to the list of places where state-funded travel is banned because they have laws that discriminate against members of the LGBTQ community. The list now has 17 states where state employee travel is forbidden, except under limited circumstances. Attorney General Rob Bonta made the announcement.
Today, as a result of anti-LGBTQ legislation, California is adding the following five states to our restrictions list: Arkansas, Florida, Montana, North Dakota, and West Virginia. Of those states, most are being added in part because they are working to prevent transgender women and girls from participating in school sports consistent with their gender identity.
Bonta says the ban is also in response to recent legislation passed in those states that blocks access to health care and limits the rights of LGBTQ students. Joining Attorney General Bonta was Relyn Whittington, a transgender middle school student from San Diego.
I'm a typical teenager. I like to hang out with my friends, give my sister a hard time, surf at the beach, skateboard, and make funny videos. Being trans is just a small part of who I am. It doesn't stop me from being a strong teammate or a good friend. To all the leaders who are attacking trans kids around the country, we just want the same rights as everyone else.
As of June, more than 250 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced in state legislatures around the country. At least 95 of them directly target transgender Americans. That's according to Attorney General Bonta. State law under Assembly Bill 1887, which was passed in 2016, requires California to avoid supporting or financing discrimination against lesbian and gay and transgender Americans. This includes state-funded travel to other states that enforce discriminatory laws or repeal protections due to sexual orientation and gender identity. Attorney General Bonta again.
AB 1887 is about aligning our dollars with our values. And make no mistake, we're in the midst of an unprecedented wave of bigotry and discrimination in this country, and the state of California will have no part of it.
Arkansas, Florida, Montana, West Virginia, and North Dakota join 12 other states on the restricted travel list. The announcement came on the 52nd anniversary of the Stonewall riots And as Pride Month comes to a close, I'm Mark Miracle.
I told you before, oh, you can't do that.
Extra, extra, read all about it. Extra.
Are you signed up for our new e-newsletter, Inside This Way Out?
We send them out every few weeks, briefly reviewing recent and previewing upcoming programming and deepening the conversation about your favorite international LGBTQ radio show.
All you have to do is email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And be assured that we don't share or sell your email address or anything about you to anyone else, and we never will.
Congress voted to make Orlando, Florida's Pulse nightclub a national memorial on June 12th. That was 5 years after a gunman slaughtered 49 people at the queer venue. U.S. President Joe Biden signed that bill on June 25th.
I'm glad to welcome everyone here to the adjunct of the White House here in person and virtually. Survivors and family members, victims, path-breaking leaders like Senator Baldwin. Just over 5 years ago, the Pulse nightclub, a place of acceptance and joy, became a place of unspeakable pain and loss. And we'll never fully recover, but we'll remember. And we have to, what we're going to do is what the members of Congress here did, and enshrine in law, as a consequence of that law, enshrine in perpetuity, literally a monument to the loss that occurred there, and an absolute determination that we're going to deal with this every single solitary day and make sure that we're not in a position to see this happen again. Behind me, you see on either board there the 49 lives lost, family members, parents, friends, veterans, students, young, Black, Asian, Latino, all fellow Americans, and in their memory, and for the countless others forever scarred, is why I signed this today. And let me say how much I appreciate, and I mean this sincerely, the commitment of the members of the House and Senate to make sure that we don't forget, that this isn't forgotten. Now, there's a tradition when a bill is signed that the president gives a signing pen to each of the people who had something to do with the law or the decision being made in the first place. I promise you, I have all the pens, but in the other room, I couldn't figure out how to sign them all. But don't leave without the pen, okay? All right? All right.
Thank you, Mr. President.
May we never have to sign another, no president ever have to sign another monument like this. Thank you.
Everybody's got a pulse.
Hi, I'm Daryl Stevens, Noah in the Noah's Ark movie and TV series, and you've discovered This Way Out, the international radio show for all our sexually diverse communities and those who love them.
Champagne and drinking with your friends. You live in the dark, boy, I cannot pretend. I'm not faced, only you to sin. If you've been in your garden, you know that you can. Call me when you want, call me when you need. Call me in the morning, I'll be on your way. Call me when you want, call me when you need. Call me by your name, I'll be on my way.
Blue.
Mass X electrified the red carpet at the BET Awards in Los Angeles on June 27th and turned heads again, sharing a lip lock with a male dancer while performing his hit Call Me By Your Name. But all hailed Queen Latifah when the actress superstar accepted her Lifetime Achievement Award, with a shout-out to her longtime partner, choreographer Ebony Nichols, and their son Rebel.
I want to thank BET for creating an outlet for beautiful blackness to thrive, to shine. When we couldn't get played on the radio in other places, we couldn't get our videos played in other places, there was BET that allowed us to be in our fullness and to shine to this night, right now, right here. Bless everybody that graced this stage tonight and everyone in the audience for all your support. Be black. Black is beautiful. I've always celebrated the woman because I was raised by a strong black woman and raised by a father who loves women. We can't live without each other. I wanted to celebrate us because I know together we stand stronger than when we tear each other apart. And I've seen enough of that. So respect to all the female MCs on the stage tonight. I'm gonna get off this stage, but I thank you so much for all of you, the fans, for supporting every crazy ass thing I've done through the years. And thank you for making Equalizer number one. Ebony, my love. Rebel, my love. Peace. Happy Pride. That was Lil Nas X and BET Awards Lifetime Achievement honoree, Queen Latifah. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Tanya Kane Berry and Marcos Najera, produced by Brian DeShazer, and from Pacifica Radio's Mark Miracle. You heard music from the West Side Story movie soundtrack, John Farnham, Hall & Oakes, The Beatles, Eli Lieb and Brandon Ski, Melissa Etheridge, and Lil Nas X. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, a bequest from Christopher David Trentum, and donors Christopher Matthews, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on Lofty 88.9 FM, Adelaide Hills, South Australia, KMUD, Arcata, Eureka, Laytonville, Garberville, Shelter Cove, California, WVEW, Brattleboro, Vermont, and a wide array of community, terrestrial, and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.